Good morning. If you missed our Bible class this morning, you missed the most excellent lead-in to the service and the sermon. And it just so happened that way. As Mary Lou likes to say, God has his hand in it. But, you know, if you were here and you heard some of the comments that were made by our panel, this is a theme that was really coming out as we looked at step six of the recovery process, being willing to let God completely heal us of any defects of character that we might have. And the thing we talk about that sometimes makes us uncomfortable is I wanted to rely on myself rather than trust the Lord. And that's what we're faced with this morning as we read Proverbs 3. Trust or self-reliance. So let's read the entire chapter together and listen for God's word. My child, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and abundant welfare they will give you. Do not let loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and of people. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It would be a healing for your flesh and a refreshment for your body. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My child, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof, for the Lord reproves the one He loves, as a father the son in whom He delights. Blessed are those who find wisdom and those who get understanding, for her income is better than silver, and her revenue better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, He established the heavens. By His knowledge, the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. My child, do not let these escape from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and prudence, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you sit down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden panic or of the storm that strikes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, "Go and come again tomorrow and I will give it," when you have it with you. Do not plan harm against your neighbor who lives trustingly beside you. Do not quarrel with anyone without cause when no harm has been done to you. Do not envy the violent and do not choose any of their ways, for the perverse are an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in His confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but He blesses the abode of the righteous. Toward the scorners He is scornful, but to the humble He shows favor. The wise will inherit honor, but stubborn fools disgrace. Pray with me. Father, take hold of us this morning as we reach out to take hold of You and the wisdom that You offer to us. God, we ask that we would be moldable, that we not just rely on ourselves or our old patterns or our survival skills, our defense mechanisms, but that we're willing to lay down our armor at your feet, trusting you that even in that exposure, you will continue to love and forgive and build up and give us true armor, one that's eternal and eternally valuable. God, we pray that we might humble ourselves rather than being stubborn, rather than being scornful, but humble ourselves before you and trust that you will lift us up in due time. Father, this morning, let us each entrust ourselves to you through our time of worship. And let us do that as a family of God as well. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. You know, I've heard several people say over the years that the Bible is not a list of do's and don'ts. How many of you have heard that? Not a list of do's and don'ts. It's more of a grand narrative or even a love letter. Okay. Well, we come to a section that has a lot of do's and don'ts in it. So they are in there. Okay. There are a lot of do's and don'ts here. Sometimes it comes across as a list, but keeping in mind that it is this bigger story, the story about the way God loves His people and what He wants for their lives, what He wants for each one of us, is very important as we read those do's and do nots. I think it was Josh McDowell who said, rules without relationship leads to rebellion. And so these rules that God has in His Word function through the relationship that He's established with us through Christ. So we keep that in mind even as we come to this. But I do want you to notice, as we go through this chapter, I especially see a lot of do not. But even those things are positive, if you look. Most of the time they're balanced with, instead of doing that, you should do this. Especially in the first section, I think you'll notice that. It's do not do this, instead do this, and this will be the good outcome that you're looking for. Okay, but really the whole chapter functions this way, Proverbs 3. And I've split it up, actually in the text you can see some of these divisions. Chapter 3 verse 1 says, my child. Chapter 3 verse 11, my child. And verse 21, my child. So each time it's this father addressing his son specifically and saying, here's godly wisdom. And so that makes some of the divisions very clear. But as you go through the whole chapter, you'll see, son, my child, listen for God speaking to you, saying, my child, don't do these things. And then you'll see a phrase or an idea for the Lord, ... The Lord does this or is this or feels this way. And so all of the instructions that are given are based on the character of who God is. I want you to see that as we go through here. There's all these references to who God is. And the more we know who God is, the more we would be willing to do what He says to do and to not do what He says not to do, because we know that He's infinitely wiser than we are and infinitely more loving than we could be. He loves us so much that He hates sin more than any of us does. And so He wants us not to go down that path, but to go down the one that would be for our greatest blessing. So in chapter 3, the first section, verses 1 through 10, my child, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and abundant welfare they will give you. You see that? don't forget my teaching, but keep my commandments. And then here's the outcome. Long life, long, happy, abundant life. That's good. That's what we all want, right? Now, verse 3, you see another section just like that. Do not let loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Rather, bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Here's the outcome. So you will find favor and good repute or success in the sight of God and people. Then comes the one that's probably the most familiar, maybe the most familiar passage in all of Proverbs, starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's the do. But do not rely on your own insight. Or maybe more familiar, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and here's the outcome, He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Do not do that. Rather, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Here's the outcome. It will be a healing for your flesh and a refreshment for your body. Now this one doesn't have a do not, just a do. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce. Here's the outcome. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Okay, so a lot of great promises being made here, right? A lot of great outcomes as God says, here's my path. Don't go down this one, go down this one. And it's just a lot of good things, right? Long life, favor, good reputation or success, straight paths, healing, refreshment, plenty. Cool. Right? Everybody wants those things. Those are all good things. And God's saying that my way will lead you here. Now, how many of us, though, go about trying to gain those things through some other way? How can I get more for myself? I mean, here he's promising full barns, vats that are overflowing. But if I go about some other way to gain that, that's ungodly, maybe I can fill a barn for a time, or maybe I can have abundance for a time, but that it's completely hollow. Completely hollow in that sense. And it's not the point that we start with the outcomes we want and then say, okay, do this or don't do that, and then I'm just, as we said in the class this morning several times, checking off the boxes. Because again, then you're following rules without a relationship. And that doesn't get you anywhere either. That's just as empty as giving rules without a relationship. See what I'm saying? All right, so when we choose to follow or not to follow God, to follow God, it's based on our relationship with Him. Not to follow God, it will be based on our lack of relationship with Him. And so this is, I think, the heart of this section, is this, do not rely on your own insight, for the Lord will make your paths straight. That doesn't mean everything is going to be easy, as we're going to see in just a moment, but God will guide your steps. And He is promising that His way is the good way, even if it's not the easy way. It's the good way. So He says, rather than relying on yourself, your own understanding, many times you have to lay down even what you think is right to be humble and trust, not in yourself, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now then, the second section begins with a little different flavor. It's not just, here's all these good things, good things, good things that'll happen. Listen to what he says next. My child, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves the one He loves, as a father, the son in whom he delights. Now, I think that follows very appropriately from the previous section. Because if all you knew was Proverbs 3, 1 through 10, what would you do when life wasn't going your way? What would you do? What would you think? You think either God's not true to His Word, or I'm not following after Him. There's something wrong with the relationship because it's not working out the way God said. I'm facing obstacles as I'm trying to do what God says. Well, again, He's saying this is the good way, not the easy way. And so those who are on the good way, the godly way, should understand obstacles as being formative for yourself. Now, Satan may want to put those things in your way in order to really trip you up so that you'll fall down and you'll fall out of the race altogether. But God puts them there so that you will be strengthened and grow and succeed. And so it says even the discipline. Now, many people don't like discipline, don't like to be disciplined. I don't really get that great of a pleasure of disciplining my children, although I do it out of love and responsibility. But this says here, and I think in light of what I've said already, this is really going to, you'll see this connection. This discipline is based on God's love. The rules fall within the relationship. And so, the do not here is do not despise the Lord's discipline. Okay, don't just get angry and resentful and bitter when everything's not going well. That's what Satan wants to happen. That's what the enemy wants to happen. He wants you to fall out of the race. But if you will not despise that, but see it as a growing opportunity, and you're trusting in the Lord through that whole time, you'll see that this is based on God's love. He's trying to discipline you as His own daughter, as His own son, just as a good parent would, because He wants the best for you. Now, this section continues on, not so much with a do this and don't do that. It almost steps back, and it's just a meditation on what wisdom is and the great value of wisdom in itself. Again, wisdom is personified as a woman to be pursued. Blessed are those who find wisdom and those who get understanding. For her income is better than silver. Her revenue is better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. And those who hold her fast are called blessed. Now, do you see that some of those same good things, some of those same promises, the desires of life are written about here again? Right? You see long life, riches and honor. Actually says long life is in her right hand, riches and honor in her left hand. So they're correlated, and yet I think they're also in this sense one is given greater, being in the right hand is a more, even more valuable. The long life is even more valuable than the riches. And yet, it's really not about the benefits that you get. It says she, wisdom herself, is more precious than jewels or silver or gold. The things that we often think are the most valuable material possessions in the world. So wisdom is eternally more valuable than that. In herself, not just what you get from it, but it's this relationship of walking with God. You see this tree of life? Where else do we see the tree of life? It's in Revelation. Where else? In Genesis, right? And maybe a couple other places throughout the Bible, but it's very much in Genesis, the offer of the tree of life, which is given up and forsaken because Adam and Eve choose self-reliance over trust. In Revelations, in the new heavens and new earth, that there's a tree of life once again made available to people. Look, this is in between those two times, the ultimate beginning and the ultimate end. Is right here. It says, walking in godly wisdom is a tree of life for you right now. Think about that. There's an opportunity not to go back to Eden or forward to the New Jerusalem, but right now to have that tree of life. And that's through understanding what God's will is for you and following after it. That's a taste of Eden and a taste of the New Jerusalem that you can have in Frederick, Maryland, of all places, or wherever you live. Now, even God finds this wisdom to be of this eternal value. In verses 19 and 20, it says, by wisdom the Lord founded the earth, and by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps broke open, and the clouds dropped down the dew. Everything that happens in the natural world is also based on God's own wisdom. This is the wisdom that you also can have. As he reveals his wisdom through his word in the scriptures and through the testimony of the church, God is giving you access to this wisdom by which he created all things. That's deep. That's awesome. Truly. To think about that. You have access to the creative power of the entire universe by walking in the wisdom of God. The next section, verse 21, the Father says again, my child, do not let these escape from your sight, but keep sound wisdom and prudence, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you sit down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden panic or of the storm that strikes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. You see it again. Do not, for the Lord, do not be afraid of sudden disaster, for the Lord will be your confidence. If it's up to my own perception and my own guidance and my own energy, there's not enough. It's not good enough to get me to my ultimate destination, to get me to where I want to go. Instead, it's only by putting my confidence in the one who does truly know that I can walk securely. Now, you see this imagery coming up over and over again, but even multiple times here in Proverbs, the idea of walking on a path, right? We saw it at the beginning in the most famous verse, he will make your paths straight. And then here again, he's saying, your foot will not stumble, you will walk on your way securely, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Satan's not going to be able to trip you up if you're trusting fully in the Lord. Then verse 27. This one doesn't say my child at the very beginning, but it does have this same pattern of do not and for the Lord. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again, tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. Do not plan harm against your neighbor who lives trustingly beside you. Do not quarrel with anyone without cause when no harm has been done to you. Do not envy the violent and do not choose any of their ways. That sounds like a list of do's and don'ts to me, right? But it is in the context of God's love. Listen to what he's saying, do not do. This isn't burdensome. This is freeing. He says, don't withhold good. When you're able to do something good, don't wait till tomorrow to do it. And tell the pro, well, I know you're hungry, but I'll feed you tomorrow. I know you're naked, but I'll clothe you tomorrow. I know you're sick, but I'll take care of you tomorrow. It's the same thing that James says later. If you see what is good and refuse to do it, it is sin. He also says, you know, that you don't send off somebody and say, oh, go be warm and well fed. And you just, that's just words. He says, through your actions, show this love. Same thing's being said here in Proverbs. And don't plan harm. Do not quarrel. Do not envy. Do not choose any of their ways. So I think that's a good list of don'ts. These are things you wouldn't want in your life at all. But here, then, it's for the Lord, starting in verse 32. For the perverse are an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the abode of the righteous. Toward the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he shows favor. The wise will inherit honor, but stubborn fools disgrace. So do not withhold good, for the Lord detests the proud, but favors the humble. This is such a good verse that both James and Peter decided to quote it in the New Testament. Right? To the proud, he scorns them. It's not going to go your way. But humbling yourself, which is maybe the first step in trust, humbling yourself before God, he shows favor. He honors that kind of thing. You see that exact thing in Jesus Christ, of course. And I'm thinking now of Philippians 2, the Christ hymn that's there, which says, Christ didn't consider equality with God something to be exploited or grasped onto. He didn't hold tight to his own divinity. Rather, he emptied himself. How much trust did that take? How much humility did that take for God to become a man? And not only to become a person like one of us, but to take on the form of a servant and to be obedient all the way until death. And not just death, but the most shameful death, most painful death, death on a cross. And so you see this downward mobility of Jesus to come from heaven, to become a person, to become a servant, to become a dead person who died on a cross, which was a curse. Therefore, God raised him up, exalted him, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see in that hymn, you see in the life of Jesus that this is how it works. Was his life easy? By no means. It was absolutely wretched in many ways. Born into a barn, he couldn't even find a place to stay. Laid in a manger, a food trough for animals as his first crib. And the life he lived, which he could earn the name Man of Sorrows, rejected by his own people, given a mock trial, abandoned by all of his followers and best friends, condemned to death. That sounds like a sad story, doesn't it? That sounds like a bad life. But all the way through, Jesus trusts in God, humbles himself toward God, and what should look like the ugliest life ever becomes the most beautiful life ever lived. Not because of the way he was treated, not because of how life was going for him, but because of his trust in the Lord and his continual obedience toward him. It became a beautiful life. As he humbled himself, he was exalted. The same things promised to us. As we humble ourselves, God shows favor. God honors that. If we approach him with pride, he's going to shut it down. It's not going to work out because we're not eternal. We're not infinite. We're not all that powerful. This is the way this closes. I've seen over and over that the definition of the fool in Proverbs is the one who will not listen. He says here, stubborn fools will inherit disgrace. So are we listening? Truly listening. Not just knowing it, but willing to live it the way Jesus lived it. Now this same idea comes up over and over throughout Proverbs. As I told you already, we're just focusing really intensely on the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, but hopefully that helps us understand the entire book. When it comes down to just 2-line Proverbs like we're most familiar with, we see several of these. I actually found most of them in chapter 16. But look at these. There is a way that seems right to a person, but its end is the way to death. That's also in chapter 14, verse 12, one of those Proverbs that shows up twice. Chapter 16, verse 9, the human mind plans the way, but the Lord directs the steps. Chapter 16, verse 2, all one's ways may be pure in one's own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. And similar in 21:2, all deeds are right in the sight of the doer, but the Lord weighs the heart. And there are others. But what this shows is this idea that we may be on our own path, but it's not going to lead where you want it to be. Pride, self-reliance, that does not take you where you want to go. Its end is death. The end of that way is death. It says, that may be what your mind plans. You've got your own dreams, your own goals. How many times do you hear, follow your heart, follow your dreams? Maybe you shouldn't, unless they're the same heart and dreams that God has for you. I'll take back the maybe. You definitely shouldn't, unless they are the same as the heart and dreams God has for you. It may seem right, your own way may seem pure, your own deeds may. You may be able to justify them, I think, is basically what's being said. You might be able to reason through, but when you know I'm building my foundation somewhere else besides what God has said, it's not going to go well. It says, the Lord is the one who weighs the spirit. The Lord is the one who weighs the heart. He knows what you truly, truly desire and what you truly need. And he offers the path to get there. Now, I've also seen this over and over, you probably have too, that much of Proverbs is reflected in Jesus' teachings, especially the Sermon on the Mount. And so, at least 3 or 4 weeks, I've seen an almost direct correlation in the Sermon on the Mount. This week is no exception. In Matthew 6, 25 through 34, it's a whole passage. I'm not going to put the whole passage up, but just parts of it. But I want you to see these two things. First is the basic construct of trust or self-reliance, but then also the structural framework of do not and for the Lord. They're both in there. Now look at this. Matthew 6, verse 25 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear." Verse 32 says, "For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." You see that? Self-reliance. This is how the pagans live their lives. Running after food and money and clothing and trying to provide their own needs through their own strength. He says, don't do that. That's freeing. That's a freeing do not. Do not worry. Don't worry about your life. Don't be thinking about that kind of stuff as primary. Rather, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek His righteousness. God's going to provide all those things. Why? Because of who He is. There in verse 32, Jesus says, "For your heavenly Father, for the Lord knows that you need them, and He values you as His son, as His daughter." And so the challenge this morning, I go back to the most famous verse in Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Amen. Pray with me. God, would You take this feeble attempt to expound Your Word and turn it into something amazing in the lives and hearts of my brothers and sisters here. That Your wisdom would truly do its work. That it's not just words, especially not just words coming from a pulpit, but that it's true wisdom, insight into the way the world works, the way Your world works, the way Your people are destined for a permanent home with You. We see that tree of life that's offered in eternity also being offered right now by following after godly wisdom. We pray that You would help us have that spiritual perception that You want each one here to have. Help us to see through the fogs in our life, through the muddy waters, through the things that are confusing, through the hurdles, through the mountains, the valleys. God, all of these things that just can so often beat us down, that we would continually trust You, put one foot in front of the other, and realize that You are taking us to that ultimate good destination. God, help us as a family walk on that path together, encourage one another along it, both to stay on the path without veering off to the right or left, and also continuing on, pushing forward, spurring one another on toward love, toward good deeds. And Father, as we take our trust off of ourselves, who are so limited in our knowledge and so meager in resources and weak, if we truly see ourselves as we are, then we look at You and see who You really are, omnipresent, omniscient. That You have all wisdom, You have all power, You have all love. That we would entrust ourselves with something much, much more firm, steady, and trustworthy than ourselves. And that is you, Lord, because of who you are and who you've shown yourself to be through Jesus Christ. God, may we trust in you more and more. We pray it all in Christ's name. Amen.